Good morning. It's a little bit cool in here. Is that because it's cool out there? Maybe you noticed weather is kind of unpredictable, but there's one thing that is true. God is steadfast and faithful with us. That's where we need to put our trust and our understanding, because we know that we can't trust a lot of things that go on around us each and every day. But we can put our trust in the Lord. With that, let's turn to our announcements. There are a few, and if Bob can work his way up this way, he can be prepared to share a little bit. Bob, you want to? Bob, that's Bob. Bob Whip, you're the one. Yeah. While he's working his way up here, just a reminder, today is Coins for Mission, so we'll be prepared to receive coins. You can probably go on up there. Oh, there's no worrying about that. Mary Martha is meeting tomorrow, so ladies, come on out and be prepared for that. Also, just wanted to remind folks that the Stevens Ministry training is available. So if you're wanting to be a part of that still, and maybe you hadn't, you know, gone to any of the other informational things, still not too late to be a part of that. So contact Becky as soon as possible, or Judy, and they will make sure you get connected appropriately. The kits, keep them coming. We have a few more weeks, so be making those. And if you haven't had the chance yet, go ahead and take that opportunity today as you go out. Take a sheet that tells you how and a bag, and be ready to bring that back the next time you come. Also, I just want to mention Joanne Sitter's birthday party was a great celebration with family and some friends from the church. She is actually, based on just my personal knowledge, the second centenarian of our church. So we have two folks that I know of that are 100 years old. That are a part of our connection. So that's something to celebrate, that we have such long-standing members within our relationship. So that's, we're glad that we were able to celebrate that with her and her family. Bob?
Well, as you know, we had a garage sale over the weekend. Personally want to thank everybody for their help, their donations, and buying everything. Which is probably the most important. I'd like to thank everybody individually, but there's just too many people. But there are two people I do want to personally address, and that's Sandy over here for cooking dinner for all the workers on Friday night. And, of course, Pastor Jeff for making sure it didn't rain.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But we have some numbers here. On Friday, we sold $1,143. And Saturday was $888.45. And pre-sale was $3,057, which is a grand total of $5,088.45, which was about $1,000 more than last year. Now, again, now we have to take out some of the expenses and advertising and all, but I think it was pretty successful, and I applaud everybody. Thank you.
And just a reminder that all that money, like he says, out after expenses, goes to charities within our community. So that's something to be celebrated. With that, we want to welcome back our bell choir, as they are prepared to share with us our prelude. So let us prepare for worship.
Boy, that was wonderful, and I get to hear it right close. It was great. Thanks, Bell Choir. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 125, and if you are able, stand and join me in the call to worship. The people who trust in the Lord are like my Mount Zion, never shaken, lasting forever. Mountains surround Jerusalem. That's how the Lord surrounds his people from now until forever, from now. The wicked rod won't remain in the land given to the righteous so that they don't use their hands to do anything wrong. Lord, do good to people who are good, to people whose hearts are right. Our opening hymn this morning is In Christ There Is No East or West, which is number 548 in your hymnal and on the screens. You may be seated, and if you would join with me in our opening prayer as printed in our bulletin, let us pray. We place our trust in you, O God, for your love and faithfulness are steadfast and true. Breathe your Holy Spirit into our worship and your very presence into our lives, that our love and faithfulness may be steadfast and true. Amen. If the children could come forward, that would be wonderful.
Here they go.
Good, good, good.
Come on down.
Oh, I need help this morning. Yay, I've got a couple of kids in red sweatshirts. Oh, those are so cute.
Reminds me
about Ohio State and those red sweatshirts. I suspect there's a few Ohio State fans in this crowd. Okay, today we're talking about the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs was written to give people advice about how to live better lives. So if you want some advice about how to live better lives, you can look in the book of Proverbs. And one thing that is mentioned in the reading that we're going to have today is to help people who are in need, people who are needy. And that is exactly what you guys are going to be doing with these buckets. Mm-hmm. We're going to collect coins from people. Are you ready to help me out with that? And we're going to help, the money that we get from these coins are going to help people in our community who have some extra needs. We're going to give food, money to the food pantry for people who need food. We're going to give money to the homeless shelters for people that don't have a house or are homeless. So you guys are really helping people that are in need, and you're helping me too. Okay, these are my coins. So if each of you would take a blue bucket and go and ask people to, can we start here with me? Oh, thank you, Robin. Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay, because you were so good, you get a treat.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, okay. I'm
sorry. Our prayer hymn is, "Open my eyes that I may see." Verses 1 through 3 of number 454.
Thank you.
let's go before our Lord in prayer, knowing that that is where we are to go. When we have anything that is on our hearts, on our minds, that are unsettled, and maybe and even in our minds when we are anticipating, let us go before our Lord in prayer. Amazing God, You are the one who cares for us the most. So often we may forget about the fact that You are the one who has that great love for us. We look around to each other and we see the love that we have from those close to us, but we sometimes think that is enough. Until it's not. So Lord, help us to maintain that understanding that You are always the one that is there around us. That we can always turn to You in a way that we can't turn to those that are around us. You can see so much more and are willing to share that with us. So Lord, help us in this time as we are praying together as the body of Christ. Help us to see in each other how we may be able to direct them to You. Lord, You are the one that has all the wisdom. The advice that is just ripe and waiting. Give us courage to turn to You. Lord, in You we can celebrate. We can celebrate like we did with Joanne and her family. We can celebrate in new births for families as we can say that within our own that there was a niece who had brought another child into this world. There are things to celebrate each and every day. Lord, we celebrate how we are able to share the gifts that we have gathered with those around us and our neighbors who are in need. These things we shouldn't take for granted. We should be looking for ways that we can be a blessing as You have called us to be. We have to turn to You to find out. We have to turn to You to see where You are needed, where You are working. So Lord, show us the way. Show us what's ahead for this church. There's so much potential, Lord, for those around us who do not know You. Help us to see how we can make connections. Lord, it is You that we can have all these things. We can have joy. We can have celebrations. We can have new direction. We can also find comfort and peace in our times of trouble. So Lord, we pray for all the things that are on people's hearts today. Things that maybe not be voiced in this prayer, but Lord, we know that You know each and every one of us where we are and what is on our hearts and minds. So Lord, meet us where we are. Give us what we need. Help us to find the joy in the Lord. Because it is You that gives all good things. Because You are good. Let us now share with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have been given so much. And for us to be able to return just a portion, it may be a challenge for us. It may be something that we reckon with each and every time we give. But it is an understanding of who we are in Christ that it gives us the opportunity to be free with our giving. To not feel that strain in our hearts as we give generously. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join with me in the prayer of dedication. Through these gifts and offerings, bless your world, O God. Through our lives and our actions, bring love to your creation, that all may know your presence and live in your grace. Amen. You may be seated.
It is wonderful to have them back. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, 22, 1 and 2, 8 and 9, and 22 and 23. A good reputation is better than wealth. High esteem is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. Those who sow injustice will harvest evil. The rod of their fury will come to an end. Happy are generous people, because they give some of their food to the poor. Don't steal from the poor, because they are poor. Don't oppress the needy in the gate. The Lord will take up their cause and press the life out of those who oppose them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, every year, I schedule a wellness physical checkup with my doctor, and maybe many of you do that as well. For several years, this has been part of my insurance preventative care coverage, so it doesn't cost me anything but time and a few vials of blood. For the most part, I am healthy. But as we all know, it can be challenging to maintain our physical wellness. This year, when I reviewed my test results with my doctor, he said, "Everything looks pretty good, but it would be wise to work into my diet more veggies, fruits, and grains." Maybe you've heard that too. Then after injuring my knee while hiking during my renewal leave this spring, and it wasn't healing completely, I asked, for an x-ray to check it out. The diagnosis wasn't what I expected. I was told that I was suffering from inflammation, but structurally, all seemed good. And again, I was told to eat more veggies, fruits, and grains, and maybe cut out some sugar, because that would help reduce inflammation. And after hearing this from two different sources, I decided, well, it must be wise counsel, and started looking up anti-inflammatory diets. And one of the items that came up in my search was an "Eat This, Not That" article. Do you remember that nutrition book that came out several, maybe it was a magazine that came out several years ago? Well, it now has a website. And well, it started in 2007 when a couple of guys, David Zinchenko and Matt Goulding, released this "Eat This, Not That" articles of advice of warning people about how to eat better. It really wasn't specifically healthy diet advice, but rather encouragement to make better decisions and to eat less calories and fat. For instance, they would even give a choice between fast food chains' milkshakes. Drink McDonald's chocolate shakes rather than Arby's. Sometimes it was an obvious healthier choice, like eating broccoli instead of potato chips, like we don't know that. Their philosophy was, be more thoughtful about the decisions you make about eating, because they can make a difference. Well, the book of Proverbs can be a similar kind of wisdom literature for us. Not all the advice is really guidance, but something to ponder. Like, even their neighbors hate the poor, but many love the wealthy. That's from Proverbs 14:20. Other proverbs make complete sense. For instance, hate stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. That's Proverbs 10:12. Wisdom literature in the Bible takes time to consider it and digest to really determine how God intends for us to use it to shape our minds and our hearts. So to help navigate our passage today, I'm using the "this, not that" philosophy to highlight God's wisdom revealed to determine how Proverbs help us make wise decisions. Over the next couple of weeks, actually, God's wisdom will be our underlying theme. God is the source of our wisdom, and that has to be our understanding. Also, with this understanding, we must ask God to show us on a regular basis what is wise regarding our lives as we are constantly making decisions. We live in a data-driven world now, which analyzes everything that has happened, and then draws a reasonable conclusion of what the right thing to choose or do might be. That's what AI technology is all about. We have a choice to make. Are we going to depend on AI or God's guidance for our life? AI has its place, but we have to be cautious and mindful of its limitations. Especially, we need to remember AI's root source of wisdom is us, humanity. How much do we want to trust in that? As I mentioned last week, God speaks to us with the intent to guide us and inspire us to follow Jesus and His ways. I also referenced this quote from Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God study, and he said, "God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways." God's wisdom is always available to us, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. We just have to listen and follow what is revealed. And before I dive in, I also wanted to note the verses in the book of Proverbs aren't laws or commandments. They are a collection of sayings or principles intended to be wise counsel. We must keep in mind the ancient context and the culture in which they originated, then discern with God's help what wisdom lies beneath the words. And today we are looking at only 6 verses of one proverb, Proverb 22. We begin with verse 1, which reads, "A good reputation is better than much wealth. High esteem is better than silver and gold." This seems like one of those no-brainers, doesn't it? However, because it is something found in an ancient book, and it is something our world today needs to hear, it is evident humanity has always struggled with wealth. The real issue that is brought to light in this verse is how we go about attaining wealth and our relationship with wealth. Do we do it, gaining wealth, in an honorable way where our integrity is important? Or does just having more money, more assets, more bling have a grip on our hearts? We don't have to be rich to have an unhealthy relationship with wealth and a skewed value system. I am amazed at what we humans place value in and on. Recently, I saw that the fedora hat that was worn by Harrison Ford in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Temple of Doom movie, maybe you saw this, it sold for $630,000. Why? Why? If we put as much value on who we are as humans as we do stuff, wouldn't the world be a better place? Our wealth can be stripped away without a trace, but integrity and a good name is everlasting. What do you say? Let's decide to value honor and integrity and not wealth. We can't just say we value honor. We really have to be mindful of it, as our value system can be challenged on a daily basis. See, our decisions can't be made in a vacuum. There are always other factors and other wise sayings to consider, like this one that comes next. "The rich and the poor have this in common: the Lord made them both." So here the Lord's value system is revealed to us. It is through our skewed value system that we have created this distinction between the rich and the poor. And we didn't stop there. We constantly provided labels for people and groups to make distinctions. There are many in the Bible itself, and there are many more that we have come up with over the years. So I really don't want to create a list for you today. I could have brought in a whiteboard and had a marker and asked you to start calling out all the different labels that we know. And well, we would have been late going to lunch, so I didn't want to do that. When we create labels, there's an underlying value we are placing on each label. That is, each person. We each may have a different value that we place on them, but it's there. But it is by grace. The grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that our skewed values can be realigned with the Lord's. So let's ask the Spirit to change our perspective to always recognize equality, not difference. Remember, we are all children of our Creator. The more we recognize ourselves first and foremost as a child of God and pursue to honor the Lord's name, not just ours, the more likely we will see the world, more specifically, see each other, see each person as the Lord does. And as we see the world more and more through the eyes of Christ, we will witness more and more that is hard to see without wanting to do something about it. These next two verses in Proverbs 22 share both of what we might see and what response we might have. Verses 8 and 9 say, "Those who sow injustice will harvest evil. The rod of their fury will come to an end. Happy are generous people, because they give some of their food to the poor." So there are two descriptions of people here. Those who sow injustice and those who are generous. Anyone, regardless of the many other labels that we have come up with, can fit either one of these descriptions. Unfortunately, with the reality that there are 8 billion or so people on earth, various cultures, countries, philosophies, economies, and interdependencies that span this globe, it is harder and harder to know if we might be adding to the injustices in the world. We have seen how some of the products we enjoy have been produced at the expense of others' unjust labors. Comforts and conveniences we take for granted come with a cost which may unjustly impact others or possibly even ourselves. When injustices are exposed, we ache, our hearts ache. We know injustice when we see it. However, inaction on our part in some way allows what we witness to continue. In the grand scheme of things, as the proverb suggests, those sowing injustice will ultimately receive justice. The call for God's people is for us to consider what kind of person we are going to be. We may not choose to sow injustice, but we can choose to sow generosity. Injustice and generosity are both conditions of the heart, our hearts. Again, I will say heart changes, heart transformation comes through the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, as well as our willingness to cooperate with the work of grace. See, generosity and injustice come from opposing motivations. So, to work with the Lord, let's choose self-sacrifice, not self-interest. To give generously, it does take sacrifice. But as the proverb also says, that sacrifice comes with a blessing, happiness, or joy. Maybe perhaps this joy comes from further distancing ourselves from the tendency to participate and injustices that serve our interests. Serving our own interests over others' interests is a constant temptation of ours. It is the root of our fallen state that is revealed in Genesis chapter 3. when Adam and Eve choose pleasing themselves over pleasing God. See, we don't have to look too hard to see how far we have fallen when we see some of the ways people treat other people. Our final two verses provide a warning for us, saying, don't steal from the poor because they are poor. Don't oppress the needy in the gate. The Lord will take up their case and press the life out of those who oppress them. To help you understand more fully what's going on here, the gate of the village was where the elders of the village would meet to act as judges for those villagers who couldn't resolve their issues on their own. So basically, the gate was the courtroom of its time and its culture. The concern highlighted in the proverb was people taking advantage of those who didn't have the resources or influence to stand up for themselves. The warning was for everyone, those without authority and those with authority. However, the consequence for those who used their power because they could was pretty clear. God will bring justice, if not sooner, then later at the end of the age. As Christians, God's children, brothers and sisters with Christ, aren't we supposed to be ambassadors for the Lord? There's an underlying piece of wisdom here for us to abide by. Let us be wise to use power and position to advocate for, not dominate over. Someone doesn't have to be poor to be taken advantage of. There are all kinds of vulnerabilities. And we don't need to hold a powerful position to be an advocate. We have the authority from God Almighty and the power of the Holy Spirit within us to stand up for any and all people we witness being taken advantage of. And if we do hold positions of authority, then we also have the capacity to establish healthy and encouraging environments for all to thrive. The lesson of wisdom for us, we all are advocates for each other as ambassadors for the Lord. You see, God is the source of our wisdom. The Lord's wise counsel is always available to us through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the influence of the world is also always clamoring with counsel that skews our perspective and directs us away from God's wise ways. We must seek, listen, and heed the Lord's word of truth and wisdom. The Scriptures, including the Proverbs, can help us make wise decisions, as we have learned today. In just a few verses, we have much to consider as we aim to walk with the Lord, valuing honor, not wealth, recognizing equality for all people, not our differences, choosing self-sacrifice, discovering joy and not our self-interest, and using power and position to be advocates for all, not dominating over anyone that we could. So may we be diligent with our discernment of all our decisions that direct our steps, keeping in mind it is wise to witness and interact with the world through God's eyes with love for all. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's number 147. And on the screens, let us sing.
was a good song to end on to remind us of all the good things, all the wise counsel, and we can see it through all the creation is made. God is wise and worthy for us to pay attention. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.